Welcome to the Well Woman Show, where we interview women executives, leaders, and entrepreneurs.
And you're listening to the Well Woman Show,
where motivated women achieve fulfillment and well-being.
You're listening to the Well Woman Show.
Take time for myself by coming to things like Well Woman Drinks.
To be accepting of myself no matter what. Step away from judgment as much as possible.
You're listening to the Well Woman Show.
You're going to be in for a good ride. I don't regret anything. Everything I've ever done, I've learned from it, one way or another, good or bad.
Being a little bit selfish for yourself, you know, put your own oxygen mask on first and then give what's left.
I'm a woman. I would prefer to tell my own story. My story, though it's very personal, is universal.
You're listening to the Well Woman Show. And now your host, Giovanna Rossi.
Hi, Giovanna Rossi here, and welcome to another episode of The Well Woman Show, where I interview women leaders, executives, and entrepreneurs about their lives and their road to becoming and being who they are today. I'm so happy you're here, so thanks for tuning in. Today's topic is trusting your inner voice, and hopefully by the end of the show, you'll be inspired to begin some daily creative practices, access and listen to your inner voice, and use today's guest's story as inspiration to utilize perseverance and discipline. My guest today is Julia Cameron, author of bestsellers The Artist's Way, Finding Water, The Vein of Gold, Walking in This World, and The Right to Write, which are taught in universities, churches, human potential centers, and even in tiny clusters deep in the jungles of Panama. Julia also has extensive film and theater credits, which include diverse works as Miami Vice and the prize-winning romantic comedy God's Will, which she both wrote and directed. She's recognized with founding a new human potential movement that's enabled millions to realize their creative dreams. Today, I'm going to talk to Julia about her creative process, tools we can all use to bring creativity into our lives, and achieving what you want through perseverance, discipline, and authenticity. I'm so thrilled to bring you this. It was such a pleasure doing this interview. I went to her home in the mountains of Santa Fe, New Mexico, and sat with her in her writer's room, which was amazing. And I just think that you're really going to enjoy this. The free giveaway today is Julia's Artist's Date Activity, which is an excerpt from her book, It's Never Too Late to Begin Again, and listeners can download it at wellwomanlife.com/018show. I love this giveaway because it explains the artist's date, which is one of the tools for creativity that Julia Cameron developed, and there's an activity that she walks you through that's very specific, and so at the end of it, you have an actual outcome. It's really cool, and I think you're going to love it. But before we get started, I want to thank our sponsor today, Leafy Greens. They provide seasonal cleanses and nutrition consultations, and Leah is the owner, and she does an awesome job of the 21-day cleanse that really made an impact on my life a few years ago. I ended up giving up caffeine. I know, that's crazy, because I was such a coffee person. But I feel great because of some of the changes that I made because of that cleanse. So you can visit wellwomanlife.com/leafygreens to sign up for the cleanse and get a special Well Woman 10% discount. Now for my interview with Julia Cameron.
Julia Cameron, thank you for being on the program today.
You're very welcome.
It's so good to see you and be sitting here in your writer's room with you in Santa Fe, New Mexico. I wanted to start by asking you, you know, we're on the Well Woman Show, so we do look at everything through the lens of women and women's wellness. So the first question I want to ask you is, what are you working on? And I know you have a new book, and we'll talk about that, but what are you working on, and how does it impact women's lives and well-being?
Well, I just finished a play, and it was a play about two poets who are madly in love, but she has a bipolar disorder. So the play is dark. It's a love story, though, and it looks at the idea of, can you be an artist and have children?
Oh.
Which is, I think, a question many women ask themselves, can I be myself and have children? And I think that we tend to want to say, oh, of course you can, dear, without realizing the actual amount of pain that may be involved in making a wrong choice.
So what's the answer? I mean, what did you conclude from your research and your play for women to be able to make that choice?
I concluded you can't have it all.
Ah, you can't have it all.
Right.
Okay. So does it mean having some of it sometime and some of it later? Or does it mean making sacrifices if you do try to have it all?
It means making sacrifices.
Like what?
Like, I'm a writer, and I live alone, and I write essentially at any hour of the day or night that it strikes me. And if you have children, the hours where you're able to write are sharply constricted because you want to be present for your children.
Yes, that's a very good example. In fact, I just before we started recording told you about my husband going on a writer's retreat because he can't write at home with the children. We have two young children, and there's no, you know, there's not the flexibility for him to be able to do that. So we sent him away for 3 days so that he could just have some focus time to do that. And that's really seems necessary in order to be able to be creative and have that time.
Well, I have one daughter, and I often think that was the right amount. And I've read that women artists can have one child, but one child only, and that it costs them too much of themselves if they have multiple children. And you with two little ones know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yes, indeed, I do. I do. It is a huge balancing act or juggling act, really. I think of it as juggling because when you've got one ball up, you've got one in your hand, and you can never have all the balls in your hands at the same time, right, if you're juggling.
Right.
So so when you were raising your daughter, then what were the sacrifices? Did you stop writing, or were you able to?
No, I didn't stop writing. I would say mommy's working, and my daughter soon learned that she had to play in solitude during the periods where I was writing, and when she had little guests over and they wanted my attention, she would say, no, no, mommy's writing.
Oh.
So she quickly learned, and she's now 40, and she herself has a child and is a writer-director.
Oh, okay. Now, you make time to go visit your grandchild.
Yes.
I think you said that you go there.
I go every 3 months.
So you're still writing and you're making time for being a grandma.
Yes.
Do you find that you're balancing that okay? Is it working for you?
Yes, I think it does. But I think it does because my daughter is such a phenomenal mother. That she is able to sort of run interference, and she'll say, Baba's working. Baba is my nickname, my grandma name.
And do you, so when you go visit your grandchild, you take your work with you and you work while you're there?
Yes. I take my work with me always.
Yeah, because you can't stop. You can't not do it if you are in that.
It's a vocation.
Yeah.
You know, I'm really called to write, and when I am writing, I'm calm and happy, and when I'm not writing, I'm edgy. So right now, you asked me what I was working on, and I'm at one of those difficult places where I've just finished a play, I have a book coming out, I have another book newly finished, and I'm looking at, what do I do now? And so it's I would say a period of prayer where you're asking your higher power to please give you some inspiration. You're talking to the muse and saying, can't you help me out a little bit here? And I've written 40 books. And I find that I still worry that I won't have another book in me.
Right. Yeah, I saw that you wrote about that.
Yeah.
And that's, I'm laughing, but it's not funny. It's a serious point. I'm just laughing because you have 40 books. So anybody would think, oh, of course she's got another, you know, book in her. But it is something legitimate that you actually do worry about or that you're concerned with.
Right.
And what do you do in those moments of uncertainty?
Well, as I said before, I pray. And I do it in writing. I get on the page and I write LJ for Little Julie. And then I write, please help me. And then I listen. And I write down what I hear. And I find that the guidance is very comforting. And it tends to point me in a right direction. And I also find that I procrastinate. When I get the guidance, I think, oh, that's very interesting. I think I'll wait just another 2 days of anxiety
before
I start.
Right.
And then when I start and obey the guidance, I get calm.
Mm. What if the guidance is counterintuitive? It just doesn't make sense in your intellectual mind at the time.
I think that's often the case. I think guidance is by definition mysterious. And when you pray for guidance and you get guidance and the guidance says something that you hadn't thought of, you tend to go back to the well again and say, LJ, let me try that again. And if you get the same guidance, which you often do, then it's time to act on the guidance. Mm.
Julia, when you were writing your latest book, you had some moments of that uncertainty of what you were going to be writing next, and you actually went into yourself and sounds like your guidance and figured out that you wanted to write about the midlife and beyond. Mm-hmm. In terms of what do people do when they retire or when they're thinking about the next chapter in their life. So it sounds like you answered your own question about what to write about next in that case.
Well, I tend to ask for what to write and then listen. I had very strong guidance that we needed a book about creativity at midlife and beyond. Because we have such a powerful youth-oriented mythology in this country. If you read the tabloids, it's all about multimillionaires at 22. And I think that it's important to say life continues after retirement. I've been teaching for 30 years, and the most poignant students were the students who came to me at retirement and said, I don't know what to do next. And I would say, well, you'll figure it out. And they go, oh, I don't think so. And so I gave them a toolkit that essentially addresses the question, what next?
And that toolkit was something you provided in person in your teaching, but then you put that into your book.
Yes.
Is that correct?
You can go look for a book that's called It's Never Too Late to Begin Again, Creativity at Midlife and Beyond.
Okay, and you wrote it with Emma Lively, is
yes.
that right?
Yes.
Okay.
Emma is a colleague of mine. We've worked together for 16 years. We initially wrote musicals together, and she's a wonderful composer. And she also loved my compositions. Yeah. And so we worked together on musicals for 10 years. And then we started writing books. And I find that the books that I write with Emma win prizes. So it's, I don't feel that I've sold out by using a colleague. I feel like I've augmented my work.
Hmm. It sounds like a great partnership and collaboration.
It is. She's coming in from New York today.
Oh, to do some book promotion with you?
Well, she'll probably do some book promotion, and we'll just talk about what next.
That's great. So, Julia, I want to ask you a little bit about how you got started in terms of the Well Woman Show and the whole community of the Well Woman Life community. We talk about women achieving their highest level of health and well-being, whatever that means to them. Was there a moment early in your career where you had a sort of aha moment, like, I know that I need to do something more for myself in order to reach my highest level of well-being?
Well, when I was 18 years old, I was attending Georgetown University, and they allowed me to be in something called the Institute of Languages and Linguistics. But they wouldn't allow me to study English and be in the College of Arts and Sciences. And I found myself fighting with the bureaucracy and saying, women can be writers. And they would respond, you will be a wife. So I early on helped to found a women's liberation movement at Georgetown. We essentially were asking for equality. We were asking to be allowed into the men's college. We were asking to be educated and taken as seriously as the men were. For example, one of the things that we found was that the college gave no scholarships to women, just to men.
And what was the percentage of female students to, what was the ratio at the time of female students to male students at the time that you were at Georgetown?
I don't know. The men's college was all men, and that was like 1,000 people in the class. And then I formed this women's liberation movement, and I was ultimately allowed into the men's college. And there were about 8 of us out of 1,000 that graduated. We were the first women graduates from Georgetown.
Oh, okay. What year was that that you graduated?
1970.
Wow. I am speaking with Julia Cameron, the author of The Artist's Way, and the new book called It's Never Too Late to Begin Again, Discovering Creativity and Meaning at Midlife and Beyond. Welcome back to the program, Julia.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Julia, we're going into a segment we call Superpowers for Success. And this is a series of questions I ask all of my guests who are women leaders and entrepreneurs and professionals, because we tend to learn things from each other, and the listeners often get great tips and insights into how women do what they do and how they achieve such a high level of success. So what does success in life mean for you?
I think it means success means fulfilling your guidance, that you have a vocation or a calling that you discover through a tool I call Morning Pages, and that every morning you get up and you write 3 pages of longhand morning writing, and it says, this is what I want, this is what I don't want. And by following the trail that's laid out through the pages, you begin to become more authentically yourself. And when you are your authentic self, you are successful.
So what does it mean to be authentic?
Well, I think that what we're talking about is when you're authentic is that you respond with spontaneity, clarity, and honesty. And I think that the morning pages train people to listen for their true self. A lot of times we will say, oh, I feel okay about that, without actually looking at what does okay mean. Do you mean you feel happy? Do you mean you feel sad? Do you mean you feel frustrated? Do you mean you feel excited? Morning pages train you to name accurately the emotional response that you're having toward life. And when you can accurately name your emotional response, you begin to be authentic.
A lot of that happens when you get quiet with yourself,
mm-hmm.
which is why you suggest the morning pages and the other things too, the walking alone by with yourself with no cell phone and nor no dog, right?
Right.
Or going on an art excursion by yourself.
Mm-hmm. An artist date.
Artist date. Yeah. Can you talk about that?
Well, when I teach the tools, I say, okay, they're basically three major tools. One of them is morning pages, which you'll do daily. Another one is something I call an artist date, which is a once a week solo expedition to do something that enchants or interests you. It has two parts to it, artist and date. So you find something that enchants your inner adventurer, and then you plan it ahead of time, so it's a date and you anticipate it. So it's a two-part process, artist and date, and it might be something very simple like going to a pet store, going to a children's bookstore, going to a floral shop, or it might be something a little bit more consistently creative. I don't want to say consistently, I want to say it might be something more overtly creative. You might go to the opera. You might go to a concert. You must go alone. And a lot of times movies are wonderful artist dates. And what people discover when they go to the movie alone is that it's a much more intense experience. When we go to the movies with somebody, we're always monitoring to see what they think of the film. How are they feeling? How are they reacting? How are they enjoying it? And when you go by yourself, you have only your own temperature to take. And you have a chance to say, oh, I really think this is good.
And how, I know in your latest book, For Midlife and Beyond, you suggest that you can't really pursue your creativity and be working in your job and doing life and all of that. Is that what you're saying, or can there be room for doing both?
I didn't say that it was something that you could only do once you retired, although I did say once you retire, you have a broader opportunity to do it. I think that my earlier books, The Artist's Way, Walking in This World, Finding Water, Bane of Gold, all of them point out ways to do creative work while you are, in fact, working for someone else. I think that the new book says, now you suddenly have a vast savanna of time. What do you do with your time? And many times people find that they plan what they want to do in retirement, and then when they retire, they can't seem to make themselves do it. Mm. So I say to them, okay, let's take a look at four tools, morning pages, artist dates, solo walking twice a week, 20-minute walks, that allow you to integrate the insights that you've received from the other tools. And then a fourth tool, which is called a memoir. And very often people say, oh, Julia, writing a memoir is overwhelming. And I say, we're going to do it in little teeny bits. So you'll have 10 questions every week of the course. And they are simple little questions like, do you remember a wonderful smell from your childhood?
And that's all in the book,
right? That's all in the book.
Okay. Julia, when did you know you were really good at what you do? Was there a moment, I mean, it could have been when you had, you know, millions of copies of your book sold. It could have been another moment too, though. Was there a moment when you knew you were really good at what you do?
When I was about 25, I was hired by Rolling Stone magazine to write a piece on E. Howard Hunt's Watergate children. I wrote the piece and it became a cover story for Rolling Stone. And then it was written up in Time magazine. And I thought, oh, I may have a knack.
So it was outside acknowledgement that helped you realize that you were good at what you do. Was there a moment where it came from the inside?
Well, I think the idea of writing at all came from inside of me. And I started writing when I was about 18. I started writing full time. And I was at Georgetown, and they didn't want women writing. And I called up the literary magazine, and I said, I can proofread, I can write, I can cartoon. And they said, can you bake cookies? So it was not a popular choice to be a woman writer.
No. What made you pursue that? How did you know that that's what you needed to do? In spite of people saying, can you bake cookies, and you're not allowed into the writing program?
Well, I found that I was called to write poetry. I wrote a great deal of poetry when I was an undergraduate. And my junior year, I decided I had to be an English major. So I transferred from Georgetown to Fordham. And when I was at Fordham, I got straight A's. And it was a wonderful experience because they took women seriously. And I began to publish in the literary magazines there. I had a wonderful teacher named Roland Flint. Roland took women writers seriously. And he encouraged me and sort of led me forward.
And what superpower did you discover you had only to realize it was there all the time?
I think that I have to say perseverance. I found myself staying the course and stubbornly writing. Then as I got older, people would say, well, where do you get the discipline? And I would say, I just have it. It springs from love, not from rigor. And so I would have to say that my perseverance was something that I came to depend upon.
We all go through ups and downs in our lives, in our careers. What have you done when you've been knocked down, if that's happened?
I have been knocked down. I directed a feature film in 1988, and my sound was stolen. And then I had to do ADR, which is re-recording live sound to match the picture. And I ADR'd the entire film. And when I finished it, I found that it went over very well in Europe, where they were used to ADR, and that I couldn't get a release for it in America because it was ADR. So I found myself turning to writing books and moving into that field more than staying in screenwriting. Mm. So I think the answer to what do I do when I'm knocked down is I look for a possible out.
A way to make it work.
Yeah.
And Julia, last couple questions. What are you reading right now that's not your own, you know, not your own book, but what else are you reading right now? Like, what's on your nightstand?
On my nightstand is a book by Natalie Goldberg. It's the 30-year anniversary of her book, Writing Down the Bones, and she has a new edition of that book out that I wrote the foreword for. And she also has a new book called The Great Spring, and it's 22 essays And I love it. I think she's a wonderful writer.
What advice would you give your 25 or 30-year-old self?
Sweetheart, start writing morning pages.
So you weren't writing morning pages then?
I didn't start writing morning pages until I was 30.
And then now you've been doing it ever since?
Right.
Where do you go on your artist dates now? I mean, do you do that still once a week?
I like to go to a glass blowing studio. If you notice the shelf over there of paperweights, many of those I blew myself. I find glass blowing exceedingly magical and dangerous, and I enjoy it very much. I also go to a friend of mine, Robert Stivers, who is a wonderful fine arts photographer. I go peek at what images he's been making, and I find them very inspirational.
Julia, thank you so much for being on the program today.
You're welcome.
That's it for our show today. I've been speaking with Julia Cameron, author of the bestseller, The Artist's Way. She's recognized with founding a new human potential movement that's enabled millions to realize their creative dreams. I spoke to Julia about her creative process, listening to her inner voice, and achieving what you want through perseverance, discipline, and authenticity. You can get Julia's artist's date activity for free at wellwomanlife.com/018show. Our monthly live event, Well Woman Drinks, brings together women to share our successes and challenges as women, leaders, moms, aunts, sisters, and all the other roles we carry. If you'd like to attend a Well Woman Drinks near you, or if there isn't one in your city yet and you'd like to start one, email me at info@wellwomanlife.com. If you enjoyed the show, please take a moment and subscribe to the show in iTunes and leave a review. This helps raise visibility for the show, which is super helpful when it comes to producing it every week for you. You can also continue the conversation in the Well Woman Life community group at facebook.com/groups/wellwomanlifecommunity. For feedback, comments, or just to let me know you were listening today, find me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Well Woman Life. I'm Giovanna Rossi for The Well Woman Show. Until next time, have a super powerful week.